We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall never surrender until, in God's good time, the new world, with all its power and might, steps forth to the rescue and the liberation of people.
In times of universal deceit, truth is the only rebellion left. On today's show, I have a special guest. Superman joins us to talk about his first things, his top priorities, a constitutional republic and human freedom, and why he supports President Donald Trump. Welcome to today's show, Dean Kane. I'm Dr. Everett Piper, and this is The Rebellion.
Well, folks, welcome to today's edition of The Rebellion. I told you that I had a secret guest that was going to be coming on at the beginning of the week, and lo and behold, I did tell you it was one of the actors that has performed as Superman. So today I would like to welcome to The Rebellion our guest, Dean Kane. Dean, welcome to The Rebellion.
I thought you were having Chris Pratt on. That's why I tried. I guess he didn't play Superman, though. Okay. Well, I'm happy to be here.
I tried. But, you know, we're settling for second best today.
He's a tough get, but he's a big, strong Christian and a great guy, so I hear.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. I'm very honored to be here. Thank you.
Okay. Well,
unless
thank
you're going to
you
call
Chris
right
today.
Now and just hang up on me, which I understand.
Well, no, I think we'll stick with the show as we planned it right now. So everyone listening probably knows that you've shown signs of being a conservative in Hollywood. Some of your tweets and some of your communication, you're not really trying to hide it, but I don't know how out there you are. And I guess the first question I'd like to ask you, because I think everybody wants to know, is what's it like being a conservative in the Hollywood industry?
You know, it's a weird thing. I'm a Princeton educated kid. I travel the world. I go everywhere. I'm in war-torn countries. I'm doing charity work in Kenya, Vietnam, Nicaragua. I'm in some of the worst places, seeing some of the worst things, giving my time and my attention and my effort. And so I speak about things because I have knowledge of them. The truth is my thoughts and views and things haven't really changed tremendously, the base core beliefs since I was a kid. And maybe that's because of my father, the upbringing. I'm adopted. My father raised me with very strong moral values. Certainly no angel by any stretch of the imagination. He'd be the first to tell you. But those values have hung through. And I grew up in Malibu, California with Sean Penn, Chris Penn, Rob Lowe, Charlie Sheen, Emilio Estevez, whole group. But I'm the only one who took off and went to college. So I went to Princeton and, you know, I didn't feel like I was a conservative at Princeton, and but my same core beliefs and values were there. And I did silly things like we all do in college and graduated. And then I was still doing silly things afterward and things that I would want to publicize. And I'm glad that maybe social media wasn't around at that time. But as I started growing up and even when I finally had a child, things changed because I realized that everything wasn't about me anymore. And so I started to make films that were more, you know, kid friendly so my son could be there to see them. And I started being aware of what things affected him, and much more so than you do. It makes sense when people talk about it in theory, but when you're raising a child and you're seeing them experience these things, I think it really makes a difference to you. So I started to speak out on things that didn't make sense to me or things that I disagreed with when I wasn't always, like even when I was in college, I didn't join the, well, we have eating clubs at Princeton, not fraternities. We have fraternities, but they're not supposed to be there. So we have eating clubs, but I didn't join the one that all the football players joined because I'm a football player. I was a football player. I joined one that had two football players in it, myself and my best friend. My friends weren't this one certain group here, one certain group there. I always did things my way, not because I was trying to be a rebel, to go back to rebellion, but I was really just, it's what I've always done what I thought was right and what my gut told me was the right thing to do. And so as time went on, and I started listening to what my colleagues were saying here in Hollywood and watching Sean Penn, who I love dearly. He's really like a family member because we grew up together and our families grew up together. To watch him go and, you know, sit down with over in Venezuela with what's his name?
Chavez.
Yeah, Hugo Chavez. Yes. And to go to Iraq before the war and say, "Oh, look how great everything is here and wonderful." He was doing things that I didn't agree with, but a lot of people in Hollywood were doing those sorts of things, and I was like, "Well, wait a minute, I don't agree with that." And so I started having conversations, and having the conversations, like I love to have the conversation. And right now, part of the problem I think that we're having is that people aren't having the conversations. You're either one side or the other side and you can't talk to each other. There's just no way to talk. Well, if you support that, there's just no conversation to be had. And I disagree with that. So I always talk and I'll have the conversations and talk to things. And as I got more outspoken, it just turned out that my values and my things that I thought were important and the way I learned about government and seeing government work, I certainly landed on the conservative side. But you know, socially I'm pretty liberal. So in California, I don't even know what that makes me. So that's why I'm a declined state. However, currently, I fully am supporting the Republican Party and the policies that they're putting in place versus the ones that the Democrats are putting in place. And that puts me in a weird place in Hollywood. And people want to take shots at me. And it's interesting because it's all ad hominem attacks. You know, it's like, oh, you support President Trump? You're the worst Superman ever. Like, where did that come from? Okay, if you didn't like my Superman portrayal, fine, but my reasons for supporting President Trump, I can list them for you and walk through policy, and we could have that conversation, but, you know, they don't go to that place. They just go to, you're a terrible Superman.
Have you ever felt like you've lost jobs because of taking a conservative, quote-unquote, stance?
You know, probably, but nobody would say that. That's not what. Okay. That's not the way Hollywood would work. No. There's a saying. How do you say "f you" in Hollywood? You say "trust me." And
oh, really?
Nothing is upfront. Things don't get done upfront. They just won't bring you in, or they'll bring you in and not use you, or bring you. There's a million reasons. I mean, Hollywood is certainly no bastion of morality, and it's no place where strong values are put in place for the most part. I think there's people who are trying to change that, and I like that. People who are making real strong faith-based movies and people who want to make conservative things and things. I think it's great. My father has an interesting saying for me. He's like, when people start asking you if it cost you jobs in Hollywood to be a conservative, just tell them, yeah, it looks like I probably won't work for Harvey Weinstein.
Fair enough. Well, hopefully I didn't put you in a bad position asking that question.
Not but at all.
I think that's out there on the radar for everyone. I think that is a conservative. They assume that when you get into the mix of the entertainment industry that you get blacklisted because you're not politically correct, you're not woke, you're not embracing whatever the social agenda or the political or economic agenda is of the day, and therefore you're persona non grata. And under the banner of tolerance, they won't tolerate you. And they scream, I hate hateful people. I'm sure nothing is sure. I'm absolutely confident there are no absolutes. And we just want you to go away.
That's all good.
So I don't know if you would agree with that or if you would say it's really not that bad.
No, I agree with that. I think that's very, very accurate. You know, I think social media has certainly amplified this situation and this divide and allowed people to say those things and do those things. But it's very much the case. I mean, somebody, Kirstie Alley, the other day said she supported President Trump, and a guy named Judd Apatow, who's a very renowned filmmaker, TV maker, writes, you know, Shelley Long was funnier than you, which was, it's because she replaced Shelley Long on that show and whatever. But to make that ad hominem attack and that personal attack because someone supports a president or an agenda or a political ideology differently than yours, it's just, it's wrong. And it's under the banner of tolerance. And that's the thing that it does exist. And I get attacked like that online all the time. But if anybody has a conversation with me, they realize I'm a very respectful, open, honest, straightforward person, and not the things that they would probably yell at me for on Twitter.
Now, you mentioned that you are conservative because of that you're supporting a Republican Party right now. And you're at least publicly saying that you support President Trump because of the policies. What policies do you find, why? What policies would you rattle off the top 3, 4, 5 that you think are critical that lead you in that direction?
How long is this podcast? Because I could go on for a while here. I think immigration is a huge issue that we aren't talking about now that we were talking about in 2016. And suddenly it's gone because he's taking care of it in a very strong and wonderful way. It's been tough sledding along the way because he's had to deal with, you know, the separating kids things and so on and so forth, which has not gone down publicly very well at all. But this is, it's so, if you spend any time with borders, custom and border control, they love him because they're able to secure the border. And so I think immigration is a thing that we're not talking about. The things everyone's talking about are healthcare and the coronavirus. Now, healthcare is a big issue. I don't believe that Joe Biden and the Democrats are the ones to solve it. It's going to be a government takeover of healthcare, and it's going to be a nightmare. I believe President Trump, as an outsider that he is to Washington, and if you know anything about Washington, it's full of insiders. It's full of entrenched people who just glom off of the system. It's well known. Everybody in Washington knows it. People outside of Washington don't. But if you go to Washington, everybody's sponging off of this and that. That's why government is so inefficient, because people just go there and they sponge off of the government, and it becomes a craft, if you will. So I think President Trump will do what's right with healthcare much more so than going back to some version of Obamacare on steroids that Joe Biden, I don't think he's going to have. I just don't think he has it. And I think his plans for healthcare are going to be terrible, and it's going to hurt the healthcare system. So healthcare is one, immigration is one. A foreign policy, tremendous difference foreign policy wise. And that includes all the trade deals, that includes the peace between Israel and three Middle East countries that they said would never happen in 1953. No, no, and no. It's yes, yes, and yes now. It's all happened. They just today announced something with Sudan, with the UAE, with Bahrain. And these are all places that I go and visit and spend time, including Israel and Jordan and that area. And so I'm aware of how important that is, and the UAE. And so I shot a series in the UAE last year, and I think it's amazing. And that's fantastic. He hasn't gotten us in any wars. You know, there's been the renegotiation of trade deals is huge. I guess I could have just listed off the three things, but again, I could go on and on and on. Then domestic policy, unbelievable differences here with the economy. The economy under President Trump, if he gets reelected, will be the greatest economy we've ever seen. That is my prediction. If he doesn't, our economy is going to drop significantly.
Yeah, I think the listeners here on The Rebellion are going to agree with you on everything you just said in terms of border security and international policy and defense, as well as economic policy. I think what I'd like to do right now, Dean, is let's take an early break so that we can acknowledge the sponsors of The Rebellion. We'll take a couple minutes, and then we'll be right back afterwards. And I'm going to tease you up with this question here. Did you always support President Trump? In other words, in the 2016 election cycle, were you on board early or did you come on board later? So after we take a break, let's start with that one. I'm Dr. Everett Piper, and this is The Rebellion. We'll be right back in a couple minutes. Okay, welcome back to The Rebellion. We've got our guest today here, Superman, Dean Cain. Okay, so I said before the break that I want to ask you, have you always been on the Trump bandwagon, or were you slow coming to the party?
I was a little slow coming to the party. I was on the Ted Cruz bandwagon. Ted Cruz is also a Princeton guy, a super intelligent guy. I like Senator Cruz quite a bit. And when Ted dropped out of the race, my support went to Donald Trump. And I said that on the air, I think on a Fox News interview when it happened. And oh boy, do people not like that. I said, oh, I support Donald Trump, but okay, fine. And my support for him has just grown and grown and grown. Yes, I understand the things that bother people about, like when he says things, you know, oh, I didn't vote for you. Well, you're stupid. You know, things like that, those sort of comebacks and those sort of, you know, elementary school retorts and things like that. I get that. He's a counterpuncher, though. That's what he does. But him not being a career politician, him not coming from the swamp, coming from that entrenched political lifestyle and thought process, he is coming there. A buddy of mine used to run one of these government agencies. I will let him remain nameless. I think it had 165, 185 employees. He said to me, he goes, Dean, we have 185 employees here to work. You know, we should have three. Should we need two others? And we can do this job better, more efficiently, and just better overall. Because that's the point for government waste. That's what happens here all the time. So Donald Trump came in and he looked at things and he's like, this doesn't make sense. Why are we giving these people aid for this? Why are we doing this? And so he started messing with everybody's income and their job security. You know, if you start pulling aid from different countries, there are people who are sponging off of that. They don't like you. Some of them are in the intelligence agencies. That's why all these people come out against him. And so he started doing that. He just doesn't care. I've never seen any person in my lifetime take more heat and more attacks than him, but still prevail. And I hope he does so again on November 3rd. Because
it's almost as if he thrives on the attack.
I think he does, and there are people who do, and he's a fighter and a counterpuncher, and he's got more energy than anybody I know at 70, whatever, 4 years old that he is. It's yeah. Incredible. You know, the difference between him and Joe Biden at the debate looked like he was, you know, Trump's grandfather, you know, and an angry one at that, in my opinion. And he sounded like a politician, and President Trump called him out on that. He just turned and talked to the people and said that, you know, the political thing that he should say about the dinner table and stuff, but he really doesn't solve problems. He's been there for 47 years. President Trump gets things done. Now, I don't like every policy he's instituted or every decision he's made, not by a long shot. I wish we'd tackle our deficit and debt and things of that nature. I'd really like to see those things happen, but he's done so much that I have liked, rolling back so many regulations, pulling us out of the Iran, the JCPOA, which was a nightmare, the Iran nuclear deal, pulling us out of the Paris Climate Accords, which are absolutely ridiculous and like highway robbery for America. It literally is redistribution of American funds all over the world. And it doesn't, no, nothing kicks into like 2035 for China and things like, I mean, people don't know what they're talking about when they talk about this. So people don't understand those things that he's changed. And even those trade deals are sweetheart deals for certain people, certain senators, certain former administration people. And he is just cutting those. That's why he's meeting with so much resistance from within Washington. They want to bring old Washington back, bring back Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and who's both life career politicians and put things back in place the way they were. So they, you know, they can get rich and control things.
Well, I can, and the listeners of the show here have heard this before. I was not for Trump. In fact, I actually wrote against him. Fox News picked it up back in 2015-16, where I said, I'm not going to trump my morality by selling my soul for this misogynist. And I went into all the negatives of Trump. And when I lost, when Cruz lost, I had to decide what to do about that. And my conclusion, I'd want you to respond to this. My conclusion is, in the United States, we vote for a covenant. We don't vote for a king. We vote for a party. We don't vote for a person. And it's the policies of the platform of the party that is going to give us the greatest measure of human freedom that we can get out of this particular election season that the American people should attend to. Comment on that.
You're 100% correct. You're 100% correct. When I'm in other countries, and I'm, like I said, I've traveled so much and I've been, you know, I remember being in Bulgaria in the late 90s and there was a, it was early 2000s and there was a communist march going across on this Vitasha Avenue, which is just outside my hotel. I'm looking down on it and it's on the news. And my son's in Spain with his mom and I'm going to go there next, but I'm in Bulgaria in the middle of this and they're carrying pictures of former leaders and stuff. And I thought, and I've seen that. I saw that in Armenia. I've seen it in other countries all over the world. And I was like, we don't really carry around photos of our leaders. You know, we carry the Constitution. We talk about the Constitution. Our leaders aren't supposed to be perfect. I'm not voting for somebody based on their, you know, a recording with Billy Bush that shouldn't have been out there, that locker room talk that was not acceptable. I don't vote for, I don't vote for those sort of things. I vote for what you said, the policies that will put things into the best light for people here in the United States of America and worldwide. And I think of United States first, because that's their job. And so the platform is what's important to me. It's always what's important to me. And if there are things I disagree with on the platform, I will say, I'll vote for this platform, but I want this to change. And I have those conversations all the time. And that's in this instance, there's no question in my mind that the Republican platform will lead to extreme economic prosperity for the United States of America, for everyone. Every boat will rise. And if it doesn't go that way, we're going to be in for a bumpy, bumpy ride, I fear.
Okay, so we've got, I'm looking at my stopwatch here. We have a good 5 or 6 minutes yet to go. And I want to give you time to ask, I want to ask this question. I want to give you time to respond. You don't have to take all 6 minutes. We can talk about other things, but what's your prediction? Where do you see the status of the Trump campaign right now?
Well, for full disclosure, I sit on the advisory board for the reelection campaign. So it's hard to say exactly because, you know, for example, myself walking around or flying, I've flown a lot in the last few months, but every time I get on an airplane, someone comes up to me, and a lot of times it's the flight attendants. They go, listen, I just want to say thank you so much for your political stances. I know it's not popular in Hollywood, but so many of us out here support you. I think that's the same for President Trump. But I think, you know, there are huge forces at work against him. The NBA, the NFL, you know, all these things about getting out and vote. They're not saying just get out and vote. They're saying get out and vote Democrat. That's what they're saying. And to say otherwise is a lie. And that, so I see that all the time because I love the NFL. I played in the NFL. I love sports. And so I see this stuff and all these ads and these things, it's subtle, but it's telling you to go out and vote for the Democrats. The vote by mail stuff, that's all specifically to vote for the Democrats because, you know, I don't know why suddenly we all have to vote by mail, but there's huge powers working against him. I think it's always an unknown at this point in time, especially because of this huge mail-in thing. But I'm buoyed by seeing huge crowds wherever he goes. Huge crowds of people there to meet him and see him, and the sheer passion with which his followers and people who support him, supporters, that they're extremely passionate about supporting him, and so that energy translates to votes. These people go and vote. You know, I saw something on the NFL today. I was rewatching a game because I love football, and they were talking and they were doing this vote, get out and vote campaign. And then something about Atlanta, the Atlanta Falcons are doing this whole vote thing and so on. So rise up and vote. And I want to ask the question, you know, and I thought it'd be interesting. How many of the Atlanta Falcons themselves are voting? How many are actually going to vote? And I would love to know the actual answer to that. I'm all for people voting. I say, get out there and vote. I say, everybody should talk about politics if they want to. And that means, you know, actors and politicians and whatever. It doesn't have to regular people. You don't have to bang people over the head with it. And certainly don't, if someone doesn't agree with my politics, I wouldn't like not have them in my restaurant. I'd love, please come in. Let's have the conversations. That's how things get done and problems get solved. Not talking about it creates the problems. So I'm very hopeful for the campaign. I actually got some money riding on it with a friend of mine. He was so sure that Hillary Clinton was going to win last time. And I said, Donald Trump's going to win. And I was correct. So this time we put money behind it. Not a lot, but enough to say, okay. I put my money behind it.
Okay, so I'm going to try to quantify it here by comparing 2016 to 2020. In 2016, you just said that you bet that Donald Trump would beat Hillary Clinton. In 2020, I'm assuming you would say that you are going to bet, you already did say, you've bet that Donald Trump will beat Joe Biden. On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident were you in that bet in 2016 versus how confident are you in 2020? Is that fair?
Very fair. In 2016, I gave myself about a 10% chance to win that bet. So I didn't think I was going to win that bet in 2016. 2020, okay. Better than even money.
Really?
Yeah.
Enthusiasm gap, voter registration.
Both are good. And, you know, you got to understand, there's a reason we have an electoral college so that the state of Oklahoma isn't forgotten. You know, people want to get out there and compete for those votes because they count. You get just California, New York, and Chicago choosing, well, that just doesn't work for the rest of the country. That's why when they talk about a national mandate for how we should handle the pandemic, how do you tell the people in Montana that they have to do the same things that the people in New York City are doing? It's impossible.
Spot on.
And so that's one of those things. So I think Pennsylvania is going to go to Trump for sure. And that's a big change because of Joe Biden saying, yes, I'm going to kill the oil industry. That's a problem.
Interesting.
So at Ohio, same thing. Texas, same thing. So, you know, there's a, it goes back to Bill Clinton. It's about the economy, stupid. And right now the economy is bad because of the pandemic. But prior to the pandemic, it was humming. And people trust yes. President Trump on the economy because he's done it once. And again, I think he'll do it again. That's why I think it's better than even money that he gets reelected.
Okay, you've got about a minute, 30 seconds before the end of the show to tell your fans, what do you think they should do? What are their marching orders? What would you tell the people in Oklahoma they need to do to assure a Trump victory?
Well, to assure a Trump victory, I would say get out there and vote for President Trump. That'll definitely assure a Trump victory. But, you know, I ask anybody who's undecided or is not sure what they think, look at the policies and see if they line up with your values and the things that you want. Now, it's one thing to say, oh, great, I want everybody to be taken care of by healthcare. Understand that health insurance doesn't mean health care. And so many people under Obamacare didn't get care. Doctors won't take it. They won't take that insurance. So you're not getting care just because you have health insurance. I really believe President Trump wants to solve that issue, and he'll work his tail off because that's what he does. And he wants to come out with a great record and great things for the American people, every American person, not just the Republicans. And I really believe that he will do that and try to win over Democrats while he's in his second term, if that's the case. So if you're out there and you're undecided, I would ask you to look at the policies and see how it really affects your life.
Well, excellent. Again, I want to thank you for giving your time to the folks here in Oklahoma. And thank you for joining the Rebellion today. And thanks for your advice. And thanks for your encouragement. There are people out there that serve as a cheerleader to get other people excited and energized and doing the right thing. And you're one of those guys. So thank you, Dean. I appreciate you joining the Rebellion today. I'm Dr. Everett Piper. This is the Rebellion. We'll be back tomorrow to the normal routine of the show, unless I can convince Dean to join me again. And we'll talk about that later. Okay. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you,
Dean.
Sir.